From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Soumya Krishnamurthy. Yeah, I didn't want you to attempt.
I've been practicing for the last 5 minutes. I was going to get it right.
I wasn't sure who was going to do it right, but both of you in unison.
That's right. Soumya Krishnamurthy.
It's a good day.
I've been practicing the last
you
5 minutes.
Really
yeah, that's why I didn't really say nothing because it was on my mind.
Soumya. He was really in thought when I came in, but I love it. Thank you.
You have a book out right now called Fashion Killer.
And before we get to the book, you know, Soumya is a world-renowned hip-hop journalist.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, what else? What other hyphenates would you put on that?
Hip-hop journalist, on-air host.
Mm-hmm.
And I've literally known Char since I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Yeah.
I think I met him when he first moved from South Carolina.
That's mm-hmm. a fact.
Yeah. And then we did this show called POV on MTV.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
7 episodes. If you stayed up till midnight and watched it, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's now a cult classic in my mind. It's like the paid in full of like hip hop shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so since then I've been able to interview so many artists, and Fashion Killer is my first book.
Wow.
Congrats.
Drops 10/10, mm-hmm. so order it everywhere. This is the first anthology about hip hop and high fashion. And obviously it comes out on Hip Hop 50.
Why a book about fashion?
It's so interesting. The genesis was it started as an article in XXL.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was doing the research, I saw that there are no books about this.
Mm.
And one thing about the lit space, and you know this, Char, is that a lot of times hip-hop stories just aren't elevated in the mm-hmm. same way other genres are. Rock music, pop music, right? It's still sort of seen as either niche or still kind of underground, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, knowing Hip-Hop 50 was coming up, this is such a great opportunity to write really that definitive story, that 50-year retrospective.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those people, if I don't see it in the marketplace, well, I might as well just do it myself.
That's right.
I was going to ask, you know, what do you break down in the book? Because, you know, when you go, sometimes you go to Vegas and you go to Planet Hollywood, right? You see all these rock and roll idols on the wall, and you see their guitar, and you see their shirt, and you see their whatever, or you see some pop stars. I don't really see that much for hip hop, which is concerned. And we do have a lot of things that is pretty big, but, you know, whether we're talking about, you know,
But imagine that's the Run DMC, Adidas, imagine like
or Cameron's Jackson's, the red, white, and blue, or Cameron's pink fur, you know, things like that that really step outside.
That should be the Smithsonian, right? The Cameron pink fur. But I think Envy, you make such a good point. It is still this idea, although hip hop is 50, it's still not viewed kind of through that prestige lens, right? Yeah, I mean, you have the Smithsonian, you have these like little moments here and there, but this idea that it should be elevated and really treated with the gravitas it deserves, I think those are the opportunities. And for me, that's, I just didn't see that in the lit space.
Because it's not, I don't think hip hop is looked at through the lens of art, and it should
absolutely
be.
Absolutely.
Like, remember when Salaam Remy was up here and he had these big paintings of, like, you know, some of our favorite hip hop artists. When you see it as a painting, you're like, oh, you look at it different. Or when they do the Book of Hove exhibit in Brooklyn, you're like, oh, like, we're not looking at it through the lens of art.
Yeah, and you know, for me, just having a hardcover book out, you open it, and yeah, of course, there's like 40 great photos of like Biggie and Cam and Cardi B and all these people, but there's also history, there's sociology, there's psychology. It's so much more layered than just a rapper wore a dope outfit. And I think a lot of times people see it through that cursory lens, and it's much more nuanced than that.
Break down this cover, because I hit you when I told you.
Fire.
This cover is fantastic.
Fire.
Phenomenal. Like, break down that cover.
So it's so funny. That cover was a little bit, there were some back and forth, a little arguments with some people. So basically, Fashion Killa is obviously a nod to the A$AP Rocky song where he name checks like 27 brands, right? He was saying brands that nobody had heard of. And I wanted something that really made it stand out in the marketplace with the cover. If you look at, again, a lot of hip-hop books, it's like a guy with a big chain, something very sort of stereotypical, or kind of looks cheap, if I'm going to be honest. And for me, I wanted it to look luxe. I want it to look sexy. Even if you don't read one page, it's going to look good on your coffee table. It looks great in selfies. So I wanted this to be a book. It's very much a nod to McQueen, obviously, with the skull. But again, to differentiate it, to show that this is something different, it's special, and almost treat it like a luxury product, right? Right. Imagine like walking down the street, having a really sexy book, that's kind of an accessory, right? And it's also a great conversation starter too.
Do you break down how, especially in hip hop, how we make some of these fashion brands cool?
100%.
How a lot of times you look at some of these brands, whether it's Gucci. Now, I'm not going to say Gucci wasn't cool, but Gucci became cool because we started wearing it, whether it's Louis Vuitton or whatever it may be. Do you break that down and some of the impact that we've had on those brands?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. One of the chapters is called 1991. And a lot of people don't realize Karl Lagerfeld did a whole hip hop themed runway show back in 91. And it was, you know, big chains and nameplates and baseball cap to the side. Now, of course, rappers and hip hop weren't given homage, right? But the idea that someone like Karl Lagerfeld for Chanel was doing it all the way back then, the influence has always been there. Now, the thing is, the relationship, I think, very much started as the outsider. So hip hop not being accepted, but also not being able to afford it. You got to think back to someone like Dapper Dan. He's like, the only people who could afford my stuff were drug dealers and athletes.
Right.
Only then, when LL and Eric B. Rakim, people like that, Kane, when they were able to afford it, then they become the consumer. We go into the 90s, which is my personal favorite era, where we start to see Sean John and Rockaware and all of these rapper-led brands, right? And then now I think we're in an age of collaboration. So you have Pharrell over at Louis Vuitton. You see artists like A$AP Rocky or Travis Scott very much being partners with these brands. But, you know, as we saw with Dapper Dan, I mean, his sort of full circle moment with Gucci happened after they bit his style, right? And only after Twitter came and really rallied around him was he able to have this incredible comeback. I would hope it doesn't take outrage and those kind of scandals for hip hop to truly have a seat at the table, whether it be decision making, design, or just being represented in fashion.
Why do you think it's so difficult for black brands to succeed and have longevity, right? You named a lot of these brands, Sean John, who I don't even think is in existing anymore.
They are working on relaunching it.
Yeah, he just bought it back.
He bought it back and he had a moment at the Met Gala with it. And from what I've heard behind the scenes, just between us, is that they are working on some sort of a capsule or relaunch.
So why do you think it's so difficult for black brands to stay, you know, longevity, or for us to even support them like that? You know, we support everything else, but not our black brands.
It's hard. I think when we talk about rapper-led brands first, a lot of it is tied to the artist. So when the artist isn't hot, you don't want to wear their clothes no more, right? And so many of those brands, I mean, are you wearing Marshall Mathers clothing right now? Maybe. I mean, I'm from Michigan, so maybe we always wear it.
I didn't
but
even
how
know Marshall
people...
Mathers had a clothing line.
Oh, yeah, he did. That. Shady wear.
Oh, Shady, yeah, Shady, yeah, yeah.
You know, there was Woo Wear. Remember, mm-hmm. Busta had a line. DMX had a line. There was a time everyone had a line. It was get a record deal, have one hit record, and have a line, yeah. Right? A few of them, Sean John, Rockaware, they kind of elevated where they were making hundreds of millions of dollars. But I think a lot of it is you can't tie something to something as seasonal as an artist trend, because mm-hmm. when you're not the flavor of the moment, and it happens to everyone, mm-hmm. no one wants to wear your clothes. I think the other part is just for brands, it's really expensive. A lot of people ask me, why don't you think rappers want to have their own brands now? Do you want to spend your own money to have, you know, focus on manufacturing and supply and all of these things, distribution? Mm-hmm. It's similar to the music business. There's a reason everyone still signs to the majors. It's better to spend someone else's money.
Does that mean that you put away your OVO hoodie? Have you put any?
You know what, Char? So this is funny. And I was a former Aubrey's Angels. I can say that amongst
mixed
company.
What the heck is an Aubrey's
Angels? Former Aubrey's Angels.
You love Drake.
That was a day one. I was day one when it was not cool to be a Drake fan, mm-hmm. right? But he lost me somewhere. Yeah. After Views, it's almost like that friend from high school that we have nothing in common anymore. And I kind of don't want to hang out with them. So mm-hmm. I'll see you on social media, but let's never speak again.
Damn.
Right?
What do you think it was? What do you think the disconnect is?
You know, it's funny. I think from day one, what always gravitated me towards Drake was he was vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That was his superpower. When he stopped trying to act like Wayne or Jay, and he was just this goofy kid from Toronto, half white, nice, you know, white Jewish mom. That's what we loved about him. And in those vulnerable moments, whether it's Brand New or Too Much, like those are the records that made me like Drake. And especially growing up when you're in your mid-20s, he was that perfect blend of emo and toxic, mm-hmm. which is what all of us were dating and acting at the time. Mm-hmm. But now 10 plus years later, I just feel like we grew in separate directions. And when I listened to this new album, and let me know what your thoughts are, I was like, who is this person? Who's Aubrey? Mm-hmm. And what I want from him now is a classic album. What is your magnum opus? Mm-hmm. As a grown man, as a father, we know you have hits. We know you can get any single person as a feature. I want that definitive Drake album. Where's my 444 moment? Mm-hmm. Where's my Life is Good moment? Mm-hmm. That's what I want from Aubrey. But so until then, the OVO hoodie stays in the drawer. It's not coming out. Because I feel like I'm just a recovering Aubrey's Angel.
That's fair criticism. But, you know, even with the 444, which I think is one of the most, it'll go down as one of the most important hip-hop albums of all time. That didn't come until Jay was like in his mid-40s.
Yeah, close to 50.
You know?
I mean, Drake is like 37.
37, yeah. So he
right?
I will say that we're
Peter Pan. We don't want to grow up. Mm-hmm. But to me, listening to this album, if you're going to give me 23 tracks, you got to say something. Because to me, usually a double album mm-hmm. is a fail. Because what do you have to say for 23 tracks? Mm-hmm. Life After Death, Speaker Box. Like, there are a few of these moments that made sense. When I listened to the album, what did I glean? Mm. I just felt like I wanted my time back.
Mm. Damn. From a former Aubrey's Angel.
But I feel there's like a support group for us somewhere,
but
right?
You named Biggie's album. But,
right? There has to be. Because we have given so much to this man. You guys don't remember. There was a time in the music business, Drake wasn't cool. And I would have fights with people like Charlamagne.
That's
no, he's a person and he's going to be big and you got to appreciate him and love him. And they're like, nah, he's first of all from Canada. So mm-hmm. what does that mean? Mm-hmm. The singing, rapping combo, you know, didn't really make sense. Then they thought he was kind of a goofball. Like he came
it's
from Degrassi. But people like me were literally up. I'll never forget midnight, Valentine's Day, 2009. So Far Gone drops. Hitting that Z share. Pressing play. Tears.
Wow.
Tears.
Wow.
I remember Take Care came out. I'm like, this man knows my life story.
Wow.
Start to finish. Classic. So I've really invested in him. Mm. I've been to OVO Fest. I covered it for Rolling Stone. Like, I have put in my owl points, mm-hmm. and now it's time to pay up.
I guess that's why I'm just a little confused, because, like, I've
grown... You haven't put in your owl points. I
no,
know you haven't.
I've grown to appreciate him over the years. I've never been a real huge fan of his music, but I like the way he moves at certain times. I guess the only thing that's confusing me now is,
wait,
like...
Wait, you like how he moves as, like, a person? Or as an
yeah,
artist?
Yeah, as a person, as he's gotten... At certain times, especially during that whole back-to-back era. Like, I thought, because the way he handled that was perfect. Oh, you accuse me of not writing? Okay, I'm going to bar you up.
But what about the whole Pusha thing?
Pusha was, yeah,
that's a rough one. We still hasn't
responded.
Pusha's
a different beast, though. Like I didn't.
Well, don't poke the bear.
That is true. That is true too. Pusha's a different beast. See, I just think this album to me is just like it's Drake. Like I don't see any difference.
So it's mid. 23 songs of mid.
It just sounds like Drake to me. It's just the same Drake we've been getting.
No, it isn't. Like, again, I think you got to go back into the discography. And now I'm going to sound like I wrote a book about Drake. Mm-hmm. It's this idea that what really resonated, I mean, you go to So Far Gone. The standout track is Brand New. It's not a great song. Mm-hmm. It's not even singing that well. But he's talking about dating somebody and feeling inadequate. How many men would openly say that on their mixtape? Like, is anything I'm doing Brand New? And I remember that happened and all of us were just collectively sobbing on Tumblr at the same time. Now I look at him, you're rich, you can have any girl you want. Okay, and then what? Right? And I think right now in his life, had he given me, let's say, and now I'm going to be an OVO A&R, a double album, maybe one half is Drake, one half is Aubrey. I'd have been okay with that. Like, who are you at this life stage? You have a kid.
You want to hear more about it.
Like I know nothing about this man. Whereas in the beginning, I felt I knew about his mom.
I get it.
His uncle, his friends, and all of the issues he was going through. I know nothing about him. He like hangs out at the strip club and hangs out with like younger artists.
Well, let's see.
Yachty's his best friend.
I think Drake gets busy rapping. When he raps, he gets busy. Hands down, he can go with the best of them. I think the problem with Drake is when he first came out, your hardcore hip hop fans were making fun of him, right? Charlamagne used to call him.
You guys used to make Princess, so much fun of him.
Charlamagne used to call him Princess Boy, and that was the thing that connected, right? So then he goes to this thing where I don't think he wanted to be himself and wanted to prove that he was a rapper.
Yeah.
So then he started rapping. He started, you know, doing features with everybody to show you I can out rap people.
Yeah.
But then I think he started losing his core, which was his women, which is yourself. So now he tries to do a balance of both, which I think is very difficult for himself. You know what I mean?
And here's the thing: I want to be very honest. I love bars, right? Mm-hmm. I'm the person who listens to Jay and Mobb Deep and Big Al. Like, I hate when they say women don't like lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with that, what's the saying? I made a track for the women. Mm-hmm. It's a song for the girls. No. Everybody can like all music. Mm-hmm. But to me, there's an emotional depth that's missing. Because you can do it over bars. Jay has done it. Nas has done it. But I just need to see more than, okay, I'm the best. And, you know, even just this idea of who he's collaborating with. He could call anybody. He could probably call Sade and get her on a track, right? Like 40 has worked with her on stuff. You're working with Yeet, Chief Keef. Like it just feels like he's pandering to Gen Z, right? And you don't have to. You make hits, people come to you. Give me something different. Like what Kendrick did, right? Kendrick's like, I'm not gonna give you a single laden album, but I'm gonna let you have such a look into my life that's so intimate. Like, I feel I know him, his family, what he's going through. I need that moment from Drake. And I think he could give it to us.
I agree with you. And I think Kendrick's album is also going to go down as one of the most important hip-hop albums of all time. But when the album came out, people was like, oh, that's too much for me. You know, folks
who
were like,
who are these emotionally stunted people you hang out with? I think that's just Charlamagne and his friends
folks
and the group
like,
chat. Yeah.
This is too much for me. It's a little too deep. I'm like, I loved it. For where I'm at in my life right now. I loved it. Him talking
that's
about
gross.
Therapy, doing the work on himself, you know, being faithful to his wife, like just dealing with his trauma. I loved it. I was like, if hip hop is going in this direction, I'm all for it.
And think about our most iconic artists. Look at someone like Tupac. Very complicated, controversial, but those moments he showed who he was, his vulnerability, that's what resonates. It's not just hit records. I mean, a lot of people have hit records. But, like, I'll never forget even, you know, like when Biggie would rap about his mom. Those were the moments that just stuck with me. Like, you're an incredible rapper, great storyteller, but who are you? And
but
remember,
I'm
also a journalist, right? So for me, even when I talk to artists, there's got to be more than just, all right, so tell me about that album, Vibes.
Vibes.
Oh, okay. I interview so many young artists now. So why'd you want to be a rapper? Oh, I'm a brand. I'm a rock star. Oh, so you don't even want to be here. Why am I here? You know, and I think that's just indicative of where we are sort of in culture, where a lot of artists, they're not thinking about, again, as the artistry, you're creating art and putting into this world. And maybe, again, I have high standards for Drake because, you know, I put in my OVO points. But to me, as the biggest rapper out now, what he gave us, I think is going to be ultimately forgettable.
But honestly, I don't know how you say that for Biggie, right? Because Biggie's my favorite rapper. Biggie and Jay are my favorite rapper. I love Biggie,
right? In what order?
That's a tough one. I think probably it would almost be a tie, and I'm gonna tell you why. I think a lot of people forget how nice Biggie is, right? Until they go back and to listen to that album again. And stuff that he said back then, however long
we're
ago, was 20 years ago.
Ready to Die or Life After?
Life After Death, okay. Right? But in that, in Biggie's music, he does talk about his mom at times, but you don't really get to get into Biggie's life as much. He does a lot of stuff that's... No, I mean, like when he does the Story to Tell and he does the What Do You Do When Your Man Is Untrue? Like when
Juicy, Sky is the Limit, Suicidal Thoughts.
That was the first album.
You're talking the second album.
No, I named two off the second album. Oh, the Juicy and Sky's
Limit.
Sky's Limit was on the second album. Yeah. But Ready to Die and other one was the first album.
But just imagine your first album called Ready to Die. Just think about like that mindset, right? And the fact this young man, this album ends called Suicidal Thoughts. He, spoiler alert to anyone who hasn't heard the album, he, you know, unlives himself,
that's right?
Right,
his first album, yep.
And this idea that to show that, that's what resonated with people. I remember DMX, incredible artist, battle rapper, charisma. What resonates with people? Prayer.
Of course.
Flipping.
Yeah.
Those are those moments. And I'm not saying the whole album has to be emo, right? I mean, I love a good cry, but I think you can have the balance. So Far Gone had a balance. Take Care had a balance. Even I would say Nothing Was the Same. I mean, when he does Too Much, I think it's called, with Sampha, if you haven't seen that live performance, please do. He's literally talking to his family. He's like, we can't talk about these things in private, so I'm going to tell the world. This is what's going on, how fame has changed you. Right? These are the things that I think fans resonate with.
You don't think that Drake has enough catalog to where he can be considered a complex artist? Like, he's just complex?
I think he is. I mean, one thing I also got to give him, he has had an unprecedented run.
Absolutely.
09 to 2023 and during the paradigm shift of people buying CDs to streaming. No one else has been able to work both of those. Very different mindset. And one thing I always give him and his team, they always have their mind on what's the next song, what's the next sound, what's the next scene, whether that's UK drill, whether what's going on in Memphis with like Block Boy, like they know what's coming up. Migos, Versace, I mean, he was on it early. And I always give him props for that. But I don't know, I almost feel like if I'm going to psychoanalyze him, I feel he's just going through some sort of like a third life crisis, like figuring out who he is. As a person, as an artist, his legacy, and he's just kind of grappling with it. To me, that's what, as I listen to it, I'm like, he doesn't know what to do.
Plus, it's a season. For anybody who puts out that much content, you know, he's constantly putting out
off.
A new project every year. This might be, he's on right now. Like, he might, I have no doubt at some point he's going to give us that mature album everybody's looking for. Because we know that's in him because he was giving us that early
when
on
he was
when,
a
we
kid.
Were, when we were clowning him.
Right.
So when I know you were clowning him.
Yes, when I was clowning
him. But I never clowned him.
Yes. So I know it'll come back.
Yeah. All right, enough Drake talk. Like, we get back to the book.
By the way,
Drake, if you want to buy my book since I just talked to you for about 10 minutes, that'd be great.
Yo, what came first for you, the love of fashion or love of hip hop?
Oh, love of hip hop.
Okay.
100%. But so I grew up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, which outside of Derek Jeter, nobody else knows where that's from because that's where he's from. And you got to remember, we didn't have hip hop radio. We didn't have, you know, concerts coming through like that. So much of my relationship was through things like music videos, magazines like Vibe and The Source and Blaze. So the music and the visuals really went hand in hand at a very early age for me.
When you were when you started off early on, were your parents into it? Because I know a lot of time when hip hop started coming out, parents were like, get this rappity rap ish out of here.
I'll never forget. And my mom is here. So hi, mom. That they the first time they saw a CD with the expletive like sticker, it gave them pause. But, you know, I had straight A's. I wasn't emulating that in any way. I couldn't even swear at home back then. I can barely do it now. And they were okay with it. But if you went to my bedroom wall was plastered. Silk the Shocker, Beanie Siegel, Nas, Jay. I mean, it was very strange that I was the kid who went to Meijer grocery store and bought Blaze magazine in Kalamazoo. None of those words fit together, but they all fit together.
Gotcha.
You know, I think the good thing, though, is when you come from sort of a not like an epicenter of hip hop or fashion, you have a bird's eye view. And one thing about this book, I want it to be very inclusive. It isn't just New York. Of course, that's the Mecca. You know, one fun story a lot of people don't know, August 11th, 1973, the famous Kool Herc house party. We talk about it with Hip Hop 50, right? The origin story. He was doing the party for his sister, Cindy, who was doing it to raise money for her back to school wardrobe, right? So from day one, it was this sort of like the thread was there. But for me, it was important to focus on other regions. Have to go to the West Coast, mm-hmm. have to, you know, interviewing people like a Crooked Eye, for example, had mm-hmm. to go down south, Young Thug, Andre 3000, how they push these gender boundaries, sexuality boundaries with their fashion, as well as overseas. We can't talk about streetwear without Nigo and Japan and all of those things, and showing this is really a global story. Mm-hmm. That was really important, that it isn't just New York centric and through sort of a male lens, focusing on the women, especially the unsung heroes, not just the artists, but designers, stylists, editors.
Without April Walker, suit April Walker.
April Walker, I mean, just a seminal figure in streetwear. She came up around the same time as Karl Kanai, Cross Colors. She was dressing Biggie, Tupac, mm-hmm. like all of these people very early. But, you know, for a variety of reasons, I think one thing just being her gender, she doesn't get those accolades mm-hmm. and those flowers. You know, similarly, you have people like Misa Hylton,
Groovy
June
Lou.
Ambrose. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Even people like Kimora Lee Simmons. Mm-hmm. People forget, I mean, she was running Baby Fat. Mm-hmm. That was a streetwear brand. We may not talk about it like we talk about Supreme and mm-hmm. Stussy and those things.
You see how, even how you were shouting out all the women, he tried to slip a guy in there for
I
no reason.
I heard it and I didn't want to say anything. Shout outs to Groovy Lou, who I did
interview. No, the only reason I said, because she said Biggie, and I know Groovy Lou did Biggie.
She was shouting out the women.
I really
but she
was,
said Biggie
yeah.
too.
She was shouting out
Lou.
All women.
That's fine. I just wanted to
that's the thing, right? The mini shout out said, women, he like backdoored the
no,
man.
No,
yeah. Oh, I saw it. I didn't want to say
she said Karl Kanai. She named another black brand. Yes, she did. And I said Groovy
all women.
Guys, no. Do we need couples therapy?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I can play some Drake and we can light a candle.
Now, what about Lil' Kim? Because you broke down her fashion sense. Why do you think she's such a fashion icon?
I mean, Lil' Kim from day one, who can forget that famous poster of Hardcore? I don't know if you mm-hmm. guys remember, but I think a lot of boys became men that when
mean?
They saw that.
That was on the wall.
Yeah, there was a
lot on your wall.
It's actually currently on his wall. It's like a Basquiat and then Hardcore.
Funny story, I got a homeboy uh-oh. Who was high off hash, and he said that.
This is in South Carolina?
Yes.
Okay.
And he said that Lil' Kim climbed off out of that poster and slept with him.
Shut up.
What, this isn't a magic eye. What was he trying to see? Like the.
I promise. He swears by that stuff.
That's kind of the greatest hash ever. Can we find out who his dealer was?
Jesus Christ.
Can we get
what was
that
he
person?
Smoking? Yeah.
The best hash in all of Greenville,
South Carolina, right?
That's what it was.
But why do you think she's such a fashion
but, artist? Yeah, so Lil' Kim very early on, she was very fearless. And this was a woman who embraced her sexuality, her body, at a time that it still wasn't acceptable. I mean, mm-hmm. I was looking at a lot of archival footage. She's sitting here on daytime TV, grown men and women wagging their finger and you're mm-hmm. the downfall of America. Yeah. But she stayed true to herself. And early on, she worked with people like Donatella Versace and Marc mm-hmm. Jacobs. She became a muse to them because mm-hmm. in fashion, what's more exciting than a gorgeous woman who sits very proudly in her skin? But Kim, like a lot of artists, especially female artists, they never got their flowers. If you remember, Cardi B was the first female rapper on the cover of American Vogue. Mm. Wasn't Kim,
wow.
wasn't Fox, wasn't Missy Elliott, wow. wasn't Eve, all great contenders, by the way. Mm-hmm. So now a lot of people in the fashion world are talking about maybe she should get like a Lifetime Achievement Award or something, because not only did she birth a generation of female artists, but so many designers have taken just her elements from the wig, the makeup, the DIY creations that she wore. She definitely represents somebody who was fearless.
What was it about Virgil that made hip-hop artists currently celebrate him the way that they do? Because you don't really see that with designers. Like, why Virgil?
Well, Virgil came from hip-hop. Mm-hmm. There's a great picture in my book of Virgil, Kanye, Fonzworth Bentley and a few other guys at Paris Fashion Week.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah,
that's when people used to kill that picture.
They used to kill that picture, but looking now, they all came dressed and they were peacocking. They were looking for the camera because I interviewed Fonzworth for the book and he's like, we want to show we arrived. Mm. This was important that we are here as young, black, stylish men in Paris and you will take our photo. So Virgil came up with Kanye, was mm-hmm. very close to him as a creative director. They were both interns together at Fendi. Mm-hmm. Now, look, I interned at Bad Boy, and I'm pretty sure that they got to do more fun intern things at Fendi, Kanye mm-hmm. and Virgil. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that they wanted to earn their stripes. Like, no, we need to go to the source, and we don't want to just be the cool guys jumping in. We want to be respected. One thing Virgil, I think, did very well was he's a great dot connector. He will take someone from hip hop, someone from art, someone from the sports world. He was a DJ. So he mm-hmm. had this interesting sensibility that he was able to touch with. And, you know, I think for a lot of people, myself included, we were just so shocked when he passed. Mm. So Virgil and also Andre Harrell sadly passed during the writing of this book, so mm-hmm. I couldn't get to speak to them. Mm-hmm. But I think for a lot of people, we just, that's like a hole that hasn't been filled. Mm-hmm. Just this idea of this like nice, good guy who had so many interesting, cool friends and vision. And when he had that job at Louis Vuitton, it really felt like someone from hip hop made it. Like yeah. it wasn't just wearing Louis, you have a job there. You know, you're actually sitting at those tables with those decision makers. So he'll absolutely be missed.
What male artists do you feel revolutionized hip hop as far as fashion is concerned, right? You talk about some of the things, and we still remember some
I
of the things
Kim did. I love how Envy had to go back to the men. He no, loves the men.
No, the reason I say this is because we see it with Little Kim. We see it with Foxy Brown. We see it with Missy. Besides, I'll be honest with you, besides Biggie and that Coogee sweater, I can't think of something that people connected to and held on to it. I mean, you could say Jay-Z with the Yankee fitteds and Timberlands, but what else was that big for the culture, if you could think?
If we're talking about high fashion, we got to go back to the beginning and go to who was wearing Dapper Dan. Who can ever forget Eric B. and Rakim and those Dapper Dan jackets? I think later on, someone like Puffy was so instrumental where he could do anything because he came from that Andre Harrell lineage of Ghetto Fabulous. He was the guy making Mary J. Blige wear like the baseball shirt and mm-hmm. the cap and the, you know, knee pads and that whole thing, Jodeci. And then, of course, that goes to Biggie, right? I don't think without Puff, Biggie would look the way that he looked. I think Puff, as he said, and I think there's a great quote in the book, I want to say from one of the Trackmasters, where Puff is like, no, my man is sexy. And they're like, really? He's like, no, that's why we need to one more chance, because he's sexy. And women like him, and he needs to look sexy. So someone like Puff, absolutely. Of course, Kanye.
Kanye,
who
absolutely,
can forget
yes. Mm-hmm.
This man continues to revolutionize fashion. When I go out, I see so many little Kanye clones to this day,
absolutely.
Right? Like, you just look like you walked out of Calabasas. Pharrell, from
Pharrell,
streetwear, who mm-hmm. you're popularizing Bape, to then launching BBC. And he worked with people like Lagerfeld, Marc Jacobs, early before Louis Vuitton. One fun story, because, you know, there's a big conversation in hip-hop, who made Bape popular. Soulja Boy thinks it's him. Then there's, you know, Lil Wayne said it was him.
Pharrell.
This launched the clips, Mr. Yeah. Me Too, right? That was a whole
Pharrell,
thing.
Hands down.
I have a great picture of Biggie wearing it in 97.
Really?
Wow.
Before he
wearing
passed.
Bape?
Wearing Bape.
Wow.
And there's an incredible story.
Wow.
The fact that he was doing a photo shoot and that the photographer draped it over him because he knew Nigo and was like, hey, I want to take this picture for my friend. And according to the story, Biggie wanted some Bape because they couldn't get in his size. He had to like custom order it, but he passed right after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's that great photo. So that's one of my favorite pictures. And there's an awesome picture of Tupac in Milan. So right before he passed, he was invited by Versace to walk in the runway show in Milan. It was Tupac, Kidada Jones, who was his then girlfriend, and his bodyguards. And
they actually walked?
They walked the show, and then he performed, I believe, California Love.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently Gianni was a big fan of his. And Gianni Versace was smart about collecting celebrities mm-hmm. and really having, whether it be Madonna or Mike Tyson, he just liked celebrities, and he was that designer. That now we see celebs front row. It wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was fashion editors, fashion buyers, like people who need to be in the industry. But Gianni just saw the vision, and he just fell in love with Pac. And yeah, so that right before he passed.
People forget how big a star Pac was. Wow.
Huge. And it's funny because he really is a recurring character through this book. And it goes back to what we said before. I really think, of course, incredibly handsome, was able to wear clothing, but also his music and his perspective. He was the revolutionary. Mm-hmm. He was the icon. Who wouldn't want their clothes on Pac? So it makes sense. Another great story is how Carl Kanai met Pac. I don't know if you guys remember that iconic Carl Kanai ad. It's Pac sitting on a basketball rim. And Carl told me, he's like, yeah, I really want to work with Pac. I'm in the hotel trying to ask him to work with me. And he's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. All right, well, how much do you charge? Pac's like, nothing. You're black. I would never charge my people anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how dope was he, right?
Oh, yeah.
He could have worn anything, but he supports people like Carl Kanai, like April Walker, the same way he supported Versace. And I love that about him.
Where do you hope fashion goes in the next 50 years? We know what the last 50 years of hip-hop fashion looked like. What about the next 50?
I think the next 50, I would love to see a rapper brand become a American heritage brand. The way that we wear polo and Tommy Hilfiger and Calvin Klein and those things, maybe it's Sean John, maybe it's Yeezy, maybe it's
somebody
else.
I think it was
Yeezy.
I think he
was
fumbled.
Or is?
I think it was. He was on his way.
Okay, so here's the question. Can he make a comeback?
No.
You don't think Kanye can make a company? I think he can make a comeback. Absolutely.
1,000%.
Not if you're trying to trademark use at a time like this.
I will say there's a lot of people that love him that don't care about what he say that just love Kanye and will always support his. Even when they banned his sneakers, the price went up on StockX regardless.
Who's going to take the risk, though?
That's true. So it's funny. Mm-hmm. I was, oftentimes, again, within the industry, it's mixed. Some people say absolutely not. Others say he can, but there's going to be a ceiling. Like, he can do some shows, mm-hmm. but other shows, like SNL, probably isn't having him back. Mm-hmm. That said, talk to younger people. Talk to Gen Z. They love him.
They don't care. What corporation is going to partner with him?
Okay, so this would be an interesting paradigm. What if he gets like his own VC and just does it himself? Maybe. You don't need a Kering, you don't need a LVMH, mm-hmm. you don't need an Adidas. He has enough clout and I think enough supporters still. If he could like just get some money, do it himself, and to me that's a real model shift that I don't need you.
Did he build some of that already? Didn't he have some of that already that he can make his own sneakers and clothes and stuff like that?
I'm not sure, but he would have to do direct to consumer. Yeah. The stores aren't, I doubt stores are going to carry him. Foot Locker don't want to carry him now.
But nowadays, that's everybody's getting sneakers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get all the money. If he can do that and actually like can follow through and the orders come in on time and you don't get two shoes of different sizes, like everything's on the up and up, I think that'd be a game changer.
And I think so too.
Who's out now, I can't see anyone else who has the connections, the clout, and the cachet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cultural cachet is the biggest thing.
If he sends you free new Yeezys? Would you wear them?
Oh, his sneakers are super comfortable. Okay. I haven't stopped wearing them now.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I still wear the ones I bought. I got the slides at the house right now.
See?
There you go. So I think that would be interesting. But what I love about this book is it starts in 1973, ends in 2023, but the culture is living. So mm-hmm. it's constantly shaping and changing. So reading this book, you get this great historical perspective, but I think it also makes you excited for the future. And mm-hmm. that's something I like too. Oftentimes we kind of jokingly talk about everything sucks now and there's nothing good out mm-hmm. now. But I think it's exciting that the future creatively and aesthetically and commercially has a lot of opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you for joining us. And I'm sure you go through the my childhood stuff, which was Cross Colors. And
nice.
And
does anyone have some old Rockaway or Sean John? Do you guys have like a storage unit or something?
I'm sure I do somewhere. I don't.
Can you send it to me?
I don't. I got them dumbass big jerseys. I got a lot of jerseys that's like size.
Did you ever
XXX.
Buy lugs? I actually bought a pair of lugs.
I've never had lugs.
I don't know why.
I've never had lugs.
I blame Blaze Magazine. I think they had an ad in it. Blaze. And it was sort of like the knockoff Tim's,
yep.
right?
Never had lugs.
And I literally bought a pair of lugs.
I don't think I ever had lugs.
No, I never had
lugs. I was high-tech in Timberlands.
I still wear Timberlands.
Yeah, I was
Timberlands. Well, that's the thing, too. There's a great story about initially, mm-hmm. Timberlands weren't really messing with hip-hop.
Nope.
Timberland, Carhartt, all these sort of workwear brands that we love, they're comfortable. They're like, no, we don't want to alienate our core consumer.
I want to say Biggie helped with that, too.
With Tim's?
Yeah.
Cool
everyone.
G.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, that was a big thing, Biggie versus Pac, who popularized Versace. If you remember and Hit Him Up, Pac says, I was Versace, not you.
You copy my
people
style.
Forget that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always remember that opening bars of Hit Him Up.
Yeah.
But even the fashion aspect, and that's a question, because in the book I talk about, Haitian Jack, who was close to Pac, is like, no, I put him on Versace. It wasn't him.
Mm-hmm. The drug dealers.
Yeah, it was the drug dealers. And
our street guys.
Yes, the
street guys.
Street entrepreneurs.
good cleanup.
The street entrepreneurs. But when he was, I believe it was for, was it Juice maybe? Or above, maybe Juice. He was just around Jack and soaking it in for his mm-hmm. like character. And Jack's like, but you copied my style. So that's another big question. Was it Biggie or Pac? Like when you think of Versace, do you think Big or Pac?
I think Pac.
Yeah, I think Pac. When I think of Coogee,
but
I think
Biggie.
But
you know Biggie. Why? Because of that line.
Yeah.
It's all about Versace. You copy my style.
Copy my style.
I hadn't heard Versace until I heard
I couldn't pronounce it until I think Kanye said it.
Yeah.
It's like Versace.
I can't think of what's a Biggie Versace line? I can't even think of one.
I'm sure there is one. But what makes me think is Notorious.
Coogee down the socks. Coogee.
Was it Coogee or Gucci?
I thought it was Coogee.
Down to the socks.
I thought it was Coogee down the socks.
Down to the socks. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Rings and watchful watch. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think of Versace when I'm thinking Notorious, when I see Gravy wearing it. But outside of that, when I see Biggie, I see Coogee.
See? Yeah, the sweaters.
I see Coogee, the sweaters.
Yeah, but that's not what Biggie wanted. He wanted to be mm-hmm. the Versace Don, too.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, all right. Fighting words.
Well, the book is out right now.
Fashion Killer.
Appreciate you for joining
us. How Hip-Hop Revolutionized High Fashion is in stores right now. Go pick it up. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. Somia, ladies and gentlemen, it's the breakfast.
He was thinking about the name,
too. I was.
Too.
That's why I said it so hard.
Look. He said it real
this
hard.
This is how I did it. This is how I wrote it down, just in case.
Wow.
See, this is how you know I'm a hip-hop. You know how you got foams?
Yeah.
Foam posits? Soam? Yeah, that's how I...
Somia Krishna Murphy.
Wow.
I remember.
I like it.
All right.
I appreciate it.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.